Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field."
Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I hope you'll keep your Bibles open at that passage from Matthew chapter 9. And if you'd like to, there's space on page 3 of the service sheet for you to take notes. And you'll see my headings there. A word of apology at the beginning. They always say don't apologise, but I'd got a nice set of PowerPoint slides and I'd forgotten that the screen wouldn't be here. So you're just going to have to imagine these. The first of these, and my heading, my title is Situations Vacant. And the first of these was going to be to put up some job adverts which I'd found. I'll just read them to you, but imagine that they're up there. Cab drivers wanted, this small ad read. Nights and weekends, must have good driving and criminal record. I think there may have been a word missing there. How about this one? Surgeon wanted for a new health clinic opening in the area. No experience needed. Must have own tools. Or if you fancy working at McDonald's, this one was from a local McDonald's. Management positions available. Contact Tony. Vacation, uniforms, meals, and possible salary. Or if you fancy yourself as a waitress, waitress needed. Must be 18 years old with 20 years experience. Apply in person. And the last one, tired of working for only $9.75 per hour. We offer profit sharing and flexible hours and benefits. Starting pay, $5 to $7 per hour. Well now, in this story, Jesus announces a job vacancy. The pay is non-existent, but the fringe benefits are literally out of this world. Let's read the story again together. Verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and illness. So here's my first heading, Jesus' complete ministry. A complete ministry. In that verse, we see three verbs. We see Jesus teaching, preaching, healing. And Jesus in these three ways ministers to the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. We see him then as a teacher, a preacher, and a healer. First, he's a teacher. What's the difference then between teaching and preaching? Well, Christian teaching will impart knowledge. It will appeal to the head, to the mind. And Jesus taught many times through parables, helping us to understand Christian theology, learning what the kingdom of God is like. Somebody once said that a theologian is a man who spends his time answering questions that no one is asking. But you know, sound theology is important. all too often we've seen Christian groups who've gone off the rails because they've lost sight of the central truths of the gospel. We need people to teach us theology clearly and simply, helping us to understand the doctrines of the Christian faith. Now, it's true that God doesn't call many of us to be theologians, but the Bible does say this in 1 Peter 3, verse 15. Peter writes, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." Be prepared. And check out the sermons that you hear and the songs that you sing. Do they contain good theology? I believe they do here at this church, but sadly, not everywhere. Check out that what's being said and sung fits in with the teaching of the Bible. Because it's important that we grasp as far as we can the central beliefs of the Christian faith. But don't worry about it. There's not an exam at the end. The dying thief on the cross next to Jesus said, "Remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said, "I tell you that today you will be with me in paradise." And I guess that man had never heard any theology in his life. The Philippian jailer said to Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul simply said, "Trust in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." So don't worry about it if there are some fine points of theology that you can't grasp. But it is important nonetheless. Just before World War II in 1935, there was a massive earthquake in Quetta, Pakistan, which killed around 40,000 people and devastated virtually the whole city. Someone living in India at that time wrote this: "I remember a British battalion, which, like most battalions, came to parade service because they had to. They sang hymns they liked. They listened to the preacher if they thought him interesting. And they left the church alone for the rest of the week. But their rescue work at the time of the Quetta earthquake so impressed a Brahmin, that's a Hindu scholar, that he demanded immediate baptism because only Christian religion could make men behave like that." Christian teaching in action. In our home groups midweek, we're learning how to put Sunday's teaching into practice, to live out our faith, so that people are taught about the kingdom by what we do and who we are. And I've seen in the home group that I'm privileged to lead, people are developing in their faith. We're loving one another more. We're learning what it means to put Christian teaching into practice. If you're not currently a member of a home group here this morning at Emmanuel, speak to one of the church leaders or get in touch with Martin. We'd love to see you developing your Christian life as we meet together week by week. Jesus came then as a teacher, appealing to the mind. But he also came as a preacher, appealing, ministering to the spirit. Someone has said that the great tragedy of this age is that we're standing at the crossroads and the signposts have fallen down. Beverly Nichols wrote a book in which he had a series of interviews with famous people, among them the poet Hilaire Belloc, a famous English Roman Catholic. Like Nichols, he'd attended Balliol College and he'd been president of the Oxford Union. And Nichols wrote this: "I was sorry for Mr. Belloc because I felt that he had nailed at least some of his colours to the wrong mast. But I was sorrier still for myself and for my generation, because I knew that we had no colours of any kind to nail to any mast." in verse 35, Jesus went teaching, ministering to the mind, but also preaching, ministering to the spirit, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And this word that's translated proclaiming in verse 35 literally means heralding in the Greek. Jesus was heralding the good news. Paul used the same Greek word in his letter to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 4 verse 2, he says, preach the word. And we may think that means get up in the pulpit and preach the word. Oh, that doesn't apply to me then, surely, you could say. But the herald was someone who delivered a proclamation from the king, usually in the marketplace. He came with the king's authority, delivering the king's message. And just as Paul came with the authority of Jesus, so Jesus came with the authority of the Father. And he's passed that authority on to his followers, to you and to me. As Beverly Nichols was aware, many people are drifting aimlessly through life. They desperately need to hear the good news of the kingdom. Without this, their spirits are dead. So as we proclaim the good news in the marketplace of our lives, we give people the opportunity to respond, for their spirits to come alive. Jesus came as a teacher, ministering to the mind, as a preacher, ministering to the spirit, and also as a healer, ministering to the body. God confirmed Jesus' preaching and teaching by signs and wonders. Jesus was never simply content with words. He was always involved in the action. His response to need was always a practical one. A priest might have said that religion consists of sacrifice. A scholar that it consists of the law. But Jesus said that religion consists of love. Love in action. And so our Christian service is not just talk, but should be action too. James wrote this, James 2, 15 and 16. Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? You may have seen a box under the table at the back of the church, which is there every week, and we're invited to put items in it to support Jude Harrison and her family support work. What a blessing and an encouragement to her it would be if that box was overflowing each week. Go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but if that's all, what good is it? Our Christian service must minister to the body too. Verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Time and again in the New Testament, Jesus had compassion on people, on the sick and demon-possessed. Mark 1, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He had compassion on the sick and demon-possessed. He had compassion on the blind, the two men in Matthew chapter 20. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. He had compassion on the lonely, on the outcast, on the leper who was banished from society and condemned to lead a life of loneliness and abandonment. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. He had compassion on the sick and demon-possessed, on the blind, on the leper, on the hungry. Matthew 15, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And he fed them in their thousands. He had compassion on the sorrowing. The widow of Nain, who having lost her husband, now loses her only son. Luke 7:13, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her and he said, don't cry. In case you're in any doubt, Jesus had compassion on everyone that he met. And now here in verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. They were bewildered and dejected. They were just ordinary men and women. But his heart went out to them because he saw they were like sheep without a shepherd. In Ezekiel chapter 34, God speaks to the leaders of Israel through his prophet. They're failing as shepherds to the flock in their care. And the prophet Ezekiel writes this, you have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. Perhaps Jesus had this passage in mind. He always reserved his most scathing attacks for the religious leaders. He called the Pharisees blind guides. Woe to you, he said, teachers of the law and Pharisees. You hypocrites, you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. The religious leaders were leaving people bewildered and confused. They were just ordinary folk like you and me, not necessarily sick, blind or demon-possessed, but all having the greatest need of all, the need of a saviour. When Jesus and the orthodox religious leaders of his day looked at a crowd of ordinary men and women, they saw them in very different ways. The Pharisees and the religious leaders saw them as chaff to be destroyed, burned up. Jesus saw them as a harvest to be reaped and saved. The religious leaders in their pride could only see people's destruction. Jesus, in his love, died for their salvation. So finally, Jesus moved with compassion, issued a call to mission, my third heading. Look down at verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. There's a job to be done. There are situations vacant, and Jesus is inviting us to apply. This is one of our great challenges, that the harvest will not be reaped unless there are reapers. God needs men and women filled with the Spirit to bring in this harvest. And Jesus promises the harvest is plentiful. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? And again, at this point, I was going to show you some pictures on the screen, so you're just going to have to imagine them. There's a true story of a man who bought a barn. A recently retired New York businessman wanted to use his retirement funds wisely, so he decided to buy a home and a few acres in Portugal. He found a modest farmhouse for sale. It had been empty for 15 years. The owner and his wife had both died, and they'd left no heirs. And the estate was being sold to pay back taxes. Several other people had expressed an interest, but on the property there was a huge barn with big steel doors that were welded shut, and no one wanted the extra expense to see what was in the barn. So no one made an offer on the place. A New York gentleman bought it as it was, paying just over half the property's worth. And he moved in and he set about accessing the barn. Curiosity was killing him. So he and his wife bought a generator and a couple of angle grinders, and they set to work to cut through the welds. To their astonishment, the barn was filled with cars. Aston Martins, Lotuses, Porsches, Austin Healeys, Alphas, Lanciers, Mercedes, Formula Racers, Triumphs, BMWs, Peugeot, Mini Cooper, Fiat, Chrysler, Volvo, Nash, all covered in a layer of dust. Pity you can't see those photographs. $35 million worth. What a treasure, just waiting to be discovered. Jesus told this parable, Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. We need to get excited about the gospel. Brothers and sisters, we have treasure. We have the most wonderful good news in the world. God loved us so much that he sent his Son to die for us on a cross, to save us from the penalty of sin, to be free from guilt and give us eternal life. But people need to hear that good news. If you discovered a cure for cancer, wouldn't you want to tell everyone? You've got something more precious than that if you're a Christian here this morning. Let's be confident and know that people will receive it. Martin Luther had a friend who felt about the Christian faith as he did. Like Luther, he was a monk, and they came to an agreement that Luther would leave the monastery and go down into the dust and heat of battle for the Reformation, challenging the authority of Rome. And his friend would stay and uphold him in prayer. So they began. One night his friend had a dream, and in this dream he saw a vast field of corn, as big as the world, and there was just one solitary man seeking to reap. An impossible, heartbreaking task. And then he caught a glimpse of the man's face. It was Martin Luther. And his friend saw the truth in a flash. I must leave my prayers, he said, and get to work. So he left his pious solitude and went into the world to labour in the harvest. Yes, we need theologians to teach us about the truth of God. We need preachers, those with a call to dedicate their lives to public preaching. But as believers, we can all bear witness to the love of God in our lives. Jesus has set us a perfect example, ministering to body, mind, and spirit. And he wants us to share that compassion for the millions who haven't yet found faith in him. And he's given us the authority of a herald. We can all proclaim the good news with the authority of the King. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Will you commit your life to working in his harvest field? Today, tomorrow perhaps, there may be someone that's waiting to hear the good news from you. The situation's vacant. Apply now. Let's pray. Father, I take your word seriously. And I ask you to send out workers into your harvest field. Thank you for this amazing good news of salvation. Thank you for this gospel which means so much, which means everything to us. Forgive us if we're keeping it to ourselves when we could be sharing it with others. Please send us out now to your praise and glory and see your kingdom built in this place, in our lifetime, and see this country turned around to glorify the one who created us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.